What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 127. Today, we're going to be talking about a compound called cardiolipin and why a diet low in omega-6 fats is a healthy diet. We've touched on industrial seed oils in the past, so things like canola oil, things like soy oil, and why they're so bad for you. So if you want a podcast strictly on that, go ahead and look at the, I guess just go to the website and search it up, industrial seed oils, and it'll come up. But this is such a big topic, and this is such a staple of what I personally, what we both personally think is a healthy diet. I wanted to revisit this topic of a diet low in omega-6 fats and why that's healthy. And that sound is important, right, Tom? Like, we need to get this point across.
Yeah, it's not just like you want to lower your omega-6 fats. It's that you really want the bulk of your fats to be saturated. Like, that's the real key here. It's like, make sure the majority of your fats are saturated. And we'll get into the reason why you want them to be saturated versus polyunsaturated.
Yeah, exactly. So just to touch on it, I want to first bring up kind of diseases of Western civilization, also known as like kind of metabolic syndrome. So things like heart disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, gout, diabetes, and cancer. These things are so prominent nowadays. Everyone literally knows someone that has one of those conditions. And if you don't, you definitely don't live in America, okay? They're just so common. And since they're so common, people think they're normal. But I'm here to tell you, none of those conditions are normal, and they're all fairly new. A couple hundred years ago, when we didn't have access to these seed oils, which again are the primary dietary sources of omega-6 fats, and we didn't have access to kind of just refined foods and specifically refined sugar, none of these conditions existed. Or at least if they did, they were such small percentage, they were never talked about and they were never written about. But nowadays, like I said, they're so common. And diets high in omega-6 fats really are kind of the driving force. They're so toxic and they're so bad for you. And this podcast is really going to break down why. And a term or a few terms me and Tom have both kind of said a million times is inflammation and insulin resistance. So anybody in the dietary world, anybody in the kind of health biome, I guess, has heard those terms a lot. And they're often cited as being the cause of metabolic syndrome. And again, those are all those conditions that are fairly new. And that's true in part. You know, I'm not here to say that's not true. But I wanted to go a step further and say, but what causes that inflammation? What causes the insulin resistance, right? What's that other step? And in my opinion, it's mitochondrial dysfunction. And this can all be linked to cardiolipin oxidation, the resulting cell death, and toxins released from it. So we've said it a million times. If you want to be healthy, if you want to live a long, strong life, you want to protect your mitochondria, we've said that a million times, and I don't know like how many other ways to say it, but today we're going to go at it from a little bit of a different angle and be specifically talking about cardiolipin, which is a protein within our mitochondria, and how our diet affects cardiolipin's quality. So that's really the basis for this whole podcast. Just to touch on mitochondrial dysfunction, this and DNA damage is a signature of metabolic syndrome. It's kind of wherever you see metabolic syndrome, you see mitochondrial dysfunction. It's seen in the fat cells in obesity, in the pancreas in diabetes, as well as in conditions of heart failure, fatty liver disease, neurological diseases such as Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, and cancer. Dysfunctional cardiolipin has always been observed in cancer cells. And that comes straight from Thomas Seyfried, who is me and Tom's kind of number one cancer go-to, right? Like, if someone has cancer, I direct them to Thomas Seyfried.
Oh, yeah, he's by far the best source when it comes to anything cancer-related. And, yeah, this just kind of goes to show you, if you track any disease to the root cause, it always leads back to your mitochondria.
And that's crazy to think, and no one talks about it, and I get why, because it's kind of complicated, but it's so true. And that's something I didn't know, actually, about cardiolipin until researching this podcast, but it makes perfect sense as far as all cancer having dysfunctional cardiolipin, because all cancer is metabolic, and if you're going to have problems with your mitochondria, it's going to come from problems with cardiolipin. So yeah, that's it. Mitochondrial dysfunction appears to be the root cause of metabolic syndrome. And oxidized cardiolipin causes mitochondrial dysfunction as mitochondria are impaired with oxidized cardiolipin. So that's kind of the gist of this entire podcast. But how does omega-6 fats, specifically the primary omega-6 fats we're going to talk about is linoleic acid and cardiolipin, tie into all of this? I guess you want to touch on the difference between saturated, monounsaturated, and polyunsaturated fats since you kind of did in the intro real fast?
Yeah, so saturated fats don't have any double bonds anywhere along their chain. And because there are no double bonds, saturated fats are much more stable. So when you use saturated fats to produce energy, you're not creating a whole bunch of oxidative damage. Saturated fats are the way to go. They're the best things to cook with. They're the best things for our body to use as energy. So primarily when we would get fats from our diet, most of it would be saturated. So monounsaturated fats have one double bond, and that double bond is a little bit weaker, and it creates more oxidative stress. Now, polyunsaturated fats, those would be your omega-6s, your omega-3s. While they are essential, you want them to make up a very small part of your diet, like less than 10%. And because there are all those double bonds, they create a lot more oxidative damage when they're used as energy, because they're not supposed to be used as energy. But in today's like dietary recommendations, we're told to lower the saturated fat and increase the polyunsaturated fat. And what that does is now our body is forced to use these polyunsaturated fats as a fuel source, which we are never designed to do, creating a bunch of oxidative damage in the process.
Yeah, so that's really the gist of it. Polyunsaturated fats are not stable. Just chemically, you could think of a fat as a long chain of hydrogens and carbons. Saturated fats are stable, polyunsaturated fats are not. That's why we want to keep them low. And polyunsaturated fats were never really, like Tom said, designed to be used as a fuel source. Really, they're used throughout the body as a building block for various tissues and for various signaling functions after being converted to something called like a prostaglandin. That's what omega-6s and omega-9s, omega-3s are all kind of converted into. And not to specifically target omega-6 fats because, you know, omega-3s can go rancid and be oxidized as well. And that's what you can think of another term. When we say something's oxidized, you can think of it as like going rancid, going bad. Oxidation is not a good thing for these fats. But omega-6 fats are worse because when they do become rancid, when they do get oxidized, the toxins they make are actually worse than when omega-3 fats get oxidized. So three of the big ones are acrolein, HNE, and MDA. And there's a lot of others, ones that can be created from this, but collectively they're called oxidized linoleic acid metabolites. And the one I want to touch on really is HNE, because this one is only produced from omega-6 oxidation. And so this makes it a good marker to track omega-6 damage. So HNE is cytotoxic, meaning it kills living cells. It's mutagenic, meaning it induces mutations in DNA. It's genotoxic, meaning it destroys DNA, and this is both genomic DNA and mitochondrial DNA, so DNA in our nucleus and DNA in our mitochondria. It's also water-soluble, which is a huge deal, so meaning it can leave the cell of origin and travel throughout the body, which is obviously a bad thing. And most people have heard of free radical nowadays, simply because most people have heard of antioxidants. And those are always tied together. So antioxidants fight against free radicals. And you can think of that's why people drink like blueberry shakes and all that type of stuff, right? Well, another word for free radicals is reactive oxygen species. So if you ever read papers, you're often going to see it kind of abbreviated just simply as ROS. And most people know how bad those are for you. They're not good. They definitely have a role to do in aging. Like, as they damage proteins, they damage cells in our body. And over time, over 60, 70, 80 years of these reactive oxygen species being around, they induce age as part of the aging process. But oxidative linoleic acid metabolites, the one we're going to focus on again is HNE, are several orders of magnitude more damaging to the body than simple reactive oxygen species. And HNE itself can induce reactive oxygen species. It's like a double whammy. It's not good. And once loose in the cell, HNE spreads rapidly and causes oxidative stress. That's why when you do kind of blood tests to measure the total oxidative stress in your body, if you have like a fairly advanced doctor or somebody who kind of really looks at things from a metabolic standpoint and actually want to measure oxidative stress in your body, they're actually measuring HNE. That's such a good marker for it. So if HNE is low, you have low oxidative stress. If HNE is high, you have high oxidative stress. So it's obviously not a good thing. Like I said, reactive oxygen species, or HNE, is water soluble, so it leaves the mitochondria, or it leaves a source of creation. Reactive oxygen species cannot leave the mitochondria. So they kind of stay where they are. That's why they're not as bad. But HNE, being water-soluble, rapidly disputes throughout the cell. Again, not a good thing at all. Oxidized linoleic acid metabolites are really, that's the biggest problem here. And it's not that linoleic acid is inherently bad, because it's not. Like, we need to get it in our diet. But like Tom said, we're talking about the amount is so thrown off, it's not even funny. So in like one tablespoon of soy oil, you're going to get literally 100 times more omega-6 than you'd get in a serving of like a hamburger or a chicken breast. And I think that's the point to get across, right?
In reality, like an ideal diet, we would have like omega-3s and omega-6s about equal in our diet. There'd be like a 1-to-1 ratio, maybe like a 4-to-1 ratio at the most in favor of omega-6s. But most Americans' diets are going to be 20-to-1 in favor of omega-6s. So you're consuming 20 times more omega-6s than you really should be. Like, that's the big issue. It's not that we're like off by a little bit, it's that we're off by 20 times.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. And I've read a lot about omega-3s and omega-6 fats and various papers for this podcast. And it seems to be, it's just the total amount of energy that I'll say the standard American diet that consists of linoleic acid is crazy. It's about 7%. And it should never, never be that high. So it seems to be the total. Once that total gets to a certain amount, it seems to be over 4%, you're going to be sick. Or you're going to suffer conditions. I don't really care what else you eat. I don't care how many carbs you eat. I don't care how many other fats you eat or proteins. If your linoleic acid content is above 7% of your total energy for the day, it's going to be a problem. And again, those oxidized linoleic acid metabolites, those are really the big deal. And linoleic acid is the only source of these products. So obviously lowering linoleic acid from your diet will lower the amount of oxidized linoleic acid in our body. And I have a quote kind of outlining that. So let me see. This is a quote. So quote, in fact, because linoleic acid cannot be synthesized in humans, dietary linoleic acid is the sole source of linoleic acid for the human body. Therefore, also being the sole source of oxidized linoleic acid metabolites synthesis. Lowering linoleic acid in the diet might help to reduce oxidized linoleic acid metabolites in the body, in the blood, excuse me, and other tissues. And this is, they did a study showing that it's actually true. And it says, our findings are consistent with a report that a four-fold increase in dietary linoleic acid from corn oil produced a five-fold increase in oxidized linoleic acid metabolites in mammary tissue in female mice. Collectively, these observations indicate that dietary linoleic acid may hold proximal control over the production and or accumulation of oxidized linoleic acid metabolites in certain tissues, end quote. And honestly, I don't even think you need to have a study showing this, but there are people arguing that linoleic acid is healthy because it's essential. But we're saying this is the only source of these products like HNE. So like, no shit, lowering linoleic acid in the diet is going to lower HNE. That seems pretty one-to-one, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And there's no, like we talked about earlier this week in the whole Neanderthal podcast, like we were supposed to be eating animal foods. We've been eating animal foods for thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. these foods we've been getting like linoleic acid from, like a lot of linoleic acid from, we've been eating for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're just the source of the linoleic acid, the corn oil, the soybean oil, all these like industrial sea oils, they're relatively new to our diet. I mean, they're not relatively, they're brand new to our diet.
Yeah, brand new. Our body isn't ready for it.
Yeah, so it's like we're just not designed to be using linoleic acid as a primary fuel source, and that's kind of what we're like forced to do here because we're just consuming so much of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So has it been shown that lowering linoleic acid can have a positive impact on diseases of Western civilization? Yes, it has. And I'm talking strictly just lowering linoleic acid. No other dietary interventions occurred. They didn't tell people to exercise, nothing like that. So this study looked at non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and that is very common nowadays. It never was before. Like, if anyone got fatty liver disease in the past, it was usually just from alcohol. But now they have to literally classify it as non-alcoholic because it's coming from people's diet. So this study, it shows that the typical Western diet induces metabolic syndrome when it contains north of 7% energy as linoleic acid. This study switched that up, so it had 0.5% of total energy of omega-3s and 4% energy from omega-6s, so that's 3% less than what was needed to induce metabolic syndrome. And the carbohydrate intake ranged from 50 to 65%. So this was a high-carb diet. This is not a low-carb diet. All it did was restrict linoleic acid, and it cured non-alcoholic fatty liver disease in 100% of the people on the diet. And it obviously reduced the oxidized linoleic acid metabolites because that's a one-to-one in my opinion, but it showed in the previous study as well. So that's pretty powerful stuff, and that shows how potent linoleic acid is.
Yeah, and I still think that's a pretty shit diet. I mean, because that omega-3-to-omega-6 ratio is still like 8-to-1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's still way above optimal. And yeah, that's way too many carbs. I don't think that's a healthy diet by any stretch. But yeah, like you said, that's how bad linoleic acid is. Like, if you can just limit that to not a toxic level, like, you can do a lot of good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the deal that we're trying to kind of strike with people, I guess, is that lowering linoleic acid in the diet and replacing it with natural fats that would be either saturated or monounsaturated, something like oleic acid, is the trick to good health. And that's because, like Tom said, we were never really designed to use linoleic acid for fuel. But what's also going on is we're using linoleic acid as structures in these kind of compartments and cells within our body that linoleic acid was never supposed to be there, like cardiolipin. You've heard the term, we are what we eat. So that's really what's going on here. When we eat a diet high in cardiolipin, cardiolipin becomes constructed and made of linoleic acid. But when we eat a diet that's low in linoleic acid, like just a normal proper diet, carnivore diet, low carb, keto, whatever, but as long as linoleic acid is low, cardiolipin will not be strictly or solely made from linoleic acid. It'll also be made from something called oleic acid, which is a monounsaturated fat that our body makes itself. It's very easy. It's a primary fat in pork. It's a primary fat in olive oil. That's why it's actually called oleic acid, just so you can remember it better. Getting a diet that's actually low in omega-6 is healthy. There's a quote saying that. So, quote, replacing linoleic acid with oleic acid in mitochondria protects against oxidative damage, resultant cell death, and the release of carcinogenic agents in the body, end quote. So that's really what we're talking about, is protecting cardiolipin because we want it to be made not solely from linoleic acid. And just to talk on cardiolipin real quick, so cardiolipin is a phospholipid found only in the inner mitochondrial membrane, and it anchors the mobile electron carrier cytochrome C to the inner mitochondrial membrane. And if you want to learn more about that, because that one little sentence can be a whole podcast within itself, we have a podcast on CoQ10. I mean, we did that years ago at this point, but it actually goes into the electron transport chain and something like cytochrome C. So cytochrome C is what the mitochondria releases, and that induces something called apoptosis, or just programmed cell death, or even necrosis. It's just that tells a cell to die. Cytochrome C is that initial thing that starts it. Well, how does the mitochondria release cytochrome C? It has to get cardiolipin oxidized. So that's really the final, or excuse me, like the genesis of the whole thing is oxidized cardiolipin. And so cardiolipin on a high omega-6 diet is made up of four linoleic acid components. But on a healthy diet that's low in omega-6 fat, Cardiolipin is made up of 3 linoleic acids and 1 oleic acid, which makes cardiolipin hundreds of times more chemically stable and allows it to reduce its chances of being oxidized. But when someone is on a high omega-6 diet, cardiolipin oxidizes very easily, creating those oxidized linoleic acid metabolites like HNE, and it also releases cytochrome C, which triggers apoptosis. So that's the whole kind of genesis of metabolic syndrome, is this happening. And here's a quote kind of outlining that. So quote, in summary, we have provided evidence that HNE and related toxins can be generated through cardiolipin oxidation under free radical conditions in a test tube and in person. This mechanism links HNE generation to cardiolipin oxidation in mitochondria, end quote. So really the key to healthy mitochondria is healthy cardiolipin, and the key to healthy strong cardiolipin is a diet low in omega-6 fats. Because if you have a diet, like I said, that little saying, you are what you eat. If you have a diet high in omega-6 fat, our body incorporates those omega-6 fats into all the cells in our body. And that becomes a real big problem when it incorporates them into cardiolipin. And that's what happens. And mitochondria is in every cell in our body, every tissue in our body. And that's why metabolic syndrome is so broad. It attacks our brain, it attacks our liver, it attacks our kidneys, it attacks everything. Because mitochondria are everywhere. So we have to keep our diets low in omega-6 fats and just, I don't know, it's not hard to do if you eat a diet low in processed food and just low in industrial seed oils. That's really the trick here. I know a lot of people have this notion, and I don't know, I forget, I mentioned it, I think, when we talked about the plant-based diet and like mental health, but everybody seems to want to add something to their diet. So Tom mentioned earlier omega-3 and omega-6 fat ratio. That's fairly known nowadays, I guess, in the health world. So, but instead of people lowering omega-6 fats, you know what they'll be told to do by their doctor? Is just take a fish oil. Yeah, take a fish oil pill, right? Because everyone will add something to their diet. But to tell somebody to take something out is like a huge thing for some reason. I just don't really understand it.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't like that advice. I don't think you should keep your omega-6 high and your omega-3 high. I think what you should really do is just focus on natural foods, natural whole foods.
It'll take care of itself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've heard a couple like carnivore doctors kind of hate on chicken and pork because the omega-6 ratio is like so much higher. And while I get that's a thing, the real issue is, and when you really look at the studies, they're really looking at the corn oil, the canola oil, the soybean oil, because those are like the big sources of the omega-6 fats and linoleic acid. So if you just remove the industrial seed oils and you focus on animal fats, like you should be good, or you at least be most of the way there. I mean, if you're still having some issues with some metabolic syndrome, then maybe you should cut out the chicken, cut out the pork, and just focus on beef and, you know, seafood and stuff like that. But I think if you just eliminate the omega-6 oils, just everything industrial seed oil, just eliminate those, I think you should be good.
Yeah, no, I think you will too. And so I should have mentioned this in the beginning, actually, because I took a lot of this info from a guy called Tucker Goodrich. He's kind of like the omega-6 guy. So he's kind of really, I guess, beating the drum that omega-6s, or at least, you know, processed ones, high value ones, are not good for us. And so I read a lot more on omega-3s and omega-6 than I have in a while for this. And what I've come across is, and I think we'll touch on this again at some point, but the ratio I don't think matters less now than when I first started this reading. And what really matters is the total amounts. So I think that's really what's going on here, because it's true that chicken, pork, some other beef stuff, like if you look at beef from whatever that's grain finished, it won't have the best omega-3 to omega-6 ratio. But even the worst chicken, the worst pork, it's the total amount of omega-3s and omega-6 in these foods is very, very low. And it's very low compared to seed oils. That's all seed oils are omega-6 and omega-3 fats, and predominantly omega-6 fats. Like, that's all that energy is. But when you're eating, say, a pork chop, you're getting a lot of oleic acid, which is a monounsaturated fat. The bulk of the energy comes from that fat and the protein. The actual omega-6s is quite low. So if you can get, like, the total amount of omega-6s low, and which is below 4% of total calories, and that's actually, like, I know, I don't expect people to go do the math out there, because it's actually going to be really hard, because omega-3s and omega-6s aren't actually listed on the back of like a nutrition label. And even how accurate are nutrition labels anyways, like you can pick holes in that information too if you wanted. But if you just eat whole foods, you don't have to worry about it, in my opinion. I don't really give a shit if you eat a bunch of pork or a bunch of chicken. I think you'll be okay. Like Tom said, if you do have problems with that, there's other things you can approach. But just don't eat soy oil. Don't eat things out of plastic bags, because that's what that's going to be in. Like, that's just how it is. It's in every processed food. Industrial seed oils are in everything that's processed.
Yeah, I mean, if it's liquid at room temperature, do not consume it. Do not use that as a cooking oil. It's kind of like the best advice I can give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's the podcast. Again, just wanted to touch on how important it is to just not eat industrial seed oils. They are so bad for you. They're so toxic. These chemicals, like, people know smoking cigarettes are bad. They don't understand why. They're like, oh no, just smoking cigarettes is bad because of toxins. Kind of people just say that term broadly. These are the same toxins. So you could think of it like eating cigarette smoke, if that makes it a little more kind of clear for you. And it's just, if they're not good for you, they induce metabolic syndrome, which are all these conditions that, trust me, if you have heart failure, if you have diabetes, if you have gout, it sucks. Like, nothing about this shit is fun. So if you don't have it now, cut it out so you never have those things. And that's really just the point I wanted to make. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I think we covered it. I feel like we've covered this, I don't know, in 100 podcasts already.
I know, yeah. But Cardio Open was new. And again, like, it just took it to the real genesis of the problem. So I thought it was very interesting stuff. I know it's kind of complicated, but it's all pretty cool. I'm going to link a bunch of studies on the post. Like, so everything I read for this podcast will be on the website if you want to kind of go down the same rabbit hole I did. Very interesting stuff. But yeah, you can find that at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. If you have any questions, concerns, feel free to reach out at any time on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.